Let's turn again tonight to the book of 1 Samuel, and this evening to chapter 26. In Psalm 34 and verse 19, David wrote, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Now, those words of David we see as we study through 1 Samuel, David wrote those words from experience. And in this chapter that we are looking at tonight, we see both. We see affliction, and we see deliverance. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. First, the affliction that we see in this chapter, the affliction is King Saul coming again to take David's life. Let's read verses 1 through 4. "And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed." We saw a few weeks ago in chapter 23 that these men called the Ziphites, that they had come to Saul, and told Saul where David was hiding in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul, at that time, brought 3,000 chosen men to the wilderness of Ziph with the purpose, of course, of killing Saul, of eliminating David. Now, God delivered David at that time, and he delivered David by the Philistines invading the country, and Saul received word that the Philistines had invaded the country, so he had to leave seeking David. Now, here we see again that they come to King Saul, and they had to be looking for Saul's favor, seeking Saul's favor, what he could do for them, that they would come twice to betray David, telling Saul where he was, where he could come and find David and his men. Again, we see that he came with 3,000 choice men to destroy. What an illustration here. As you think about this, as you meditate on those verses and this particular site, what an illustration of what the sins of jealousy, hatred, malice, and envy can produce in a person. You know, there's sins of the flesh that people don't think that much about, maybe. Sins like envy and jealousy and malice, hatred. Sins that are not necessarily outward shown, but you see what those sins can lead a person to do. Here this man Saul was. Just to be able to command 3,000 men, to have 3,000 men under his command, that was something. It was something great. He had a crown on his head, but he wasn't happy. He wasn't content. He wasn't satisfied with everything he had, being king over Israel. And it was all because of the jealousy and the envy that he had for David. Remember the people sang David's praises, and they gave David praise for more having killed more of the Philistines than Saul. And Saul just could not take that. He had to have the preeminence. And I just think it's such a picture here of the jealousy, what jealousy can breed, what it can bring forth in a person's heart. When, as a believer, as a child of God, when we first sense the rising of jealousy or envy in our hearts, we need to mortify that. We need to go to the Lord in prayer and seek His deliverance from that sin, because we don't know how far that may take us. Just like Saul here, how far it took him to having one purpose in life now, and that was to kill David, to destroy David. But as I said, David wrote, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and that's the affliction that David is in at this time. Here's Saul with his army, David with a much smaller army, of course, 600 men, and Saul has come to the wilderness of Ziph, to destroy David. Now, the second part of the message, the rest of the chapter, is the deliverance is most unusual. The deliverance, how God is going to deliver David this time, is most unusual. You know, there's a verse in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 which says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment." The Lord, we know, is infinite in every way, whether it's power, He's omnipotent, whether it's love, it's everlasting, grace, but His wisdom. God is infinite in wisdom. And we might think, well, there's only one way that God could deliver me. Maybe you're in a situation, if not today, maybe sometime, and you think in your mind, well, this is the way, this is the only way God could possibly deliver me. No. No, don't think like that. God is infinite in wisdom. And He has all kinds of ways that He can deliver His children. We saw He delivered David before by having the Philistines invade the country. And Saul had to go and fight them. And David was delivered. But remember what the angel Gabriel told Mary when he announced to her that she was going to have a child. She was going to have a son. And how can it be? How can it be? And his words, the words of the angel. I just, think about that angel who had always been in the presence of God. Holy angel, Gabriel. And here he is in the world at that particular time, manifesting himself to Mary and bringing that message to her. And she, of course, asked, how can that be? How can I have a son? How can I have a child? And the angel, part of his answer was, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Nothing shall be impossible with God. Whatever the problem is, whatever the trial is, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, let's read a few of these verses, beginning with verse 5. "And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched." That's where he had pitched camp. This is an army where he had pitched his camp. "And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench," or some believe this is circling the wagons, but this would have been circling the chariots. He was laying there asleep, protected as far as man could protect him. And the people pitched round about him. "Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Let's stop reading there for just a few minutes. I want you to get the picture. I said that God delivered David in the most unusual way this time. It's amazing. You're going to see that. Saul and his army made camp. And I would think that as most armies, when they make camp like this for the night, they have men on guard duty. Men are stationed at certain spots around the camp there. And I want you to notice in verse 12 what we're told. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor know it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep. Now notice this, because this is the amazing way that God delivers David this time. Because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Here these two men come down into the camp, and they're talking, and there's 3,000 men there, along with Saul and Abner, the commander-in-chief of the army. And they're asleep, and they don't wake up. Why? Because, as the scripture here tells us, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. I looked up that word, and that's the same word in the same translation that we find in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. And the Lord, here's the verse there in Genesis, and the Lord caused a deep sleep, same word, a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs. Sleep deep enough. This sleep was deep enough for the Lord to perform surgery on Adam, to take one of his ribs, and with that rib, of course, to make Adam's helpmate, Eve. And that made me think about this, and I know you think about this. Adam's wife, the first Adam, that is, the first Adam, God, his wife came out of his side, one of his ribs. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, his wife also comes out of his side. Remember when that Roman soldier, when the Lord Jesus Christ dying there upon the tree, he took that spear and plunged it into the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, what came out? First, blood. But not just blood. Blood and water. Blood being justified through the blood, the propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that water, of course, represents a cleansing and the sanctifying power of God the Holy Spirit. So you tonight, if you're one of God's children, part of His church, His bride, we make up His bride, we came out of His side. Eve came out of Adam's side. What a beautiful picture there and type of Christ and His work. But the same word, that's a deep sleep now. You know, when you go in for surgery, you go to the hospital and go in for surgery, they put you to sleep, don't they? They don't want you waking up. They don't want you waking up during the surgery, during the operation. And they want you to be asleep, so they make sure they give you enough. And that's a deep sleep. And that's the way, I said, it's amazing to me that this is the way God delivers David this time. By causing the whole army of Saul to go to sleep and remain asleep. Fall into a deep sleep. What a blessing to see that. We learn that a deep sleep from the Lord, it says, was fallen upon them. But now listen, we learn that, we read that, but David didn't know that. When this took place, David didn't know that a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon those men. And what I see here is, I believe David, I see his faith. Because he asked, there's two men that are mentioned here, but he asked, who will go with me? I'm going. You see that? I'm going. He didn't ask, do you think we ought to go? No, no. I'm going. I'm going down there where 3,000 men are surrounding the king. I'm going there. Who's going with me? I see faith, don't you? And then I look in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, we read one testimony after the other. By faith, by faith, by faith. And I came upon this verse, verse 34, which tells us that by faith men have escaped the edge of the sword. That's what happens there, isn't it? Yes, by faith, David and Abishai, they escaped the edge of the sword by all of those men. They all had swords and soldiers, but they're all asleep. They're all sound asleep. They escaped the edge of the sword. Now, they're not the only ones. I know that. David wasn't the only one. There's others that also, Moses and others as well. Now, I want to point a few things out to us in these verses. Let's read some more verses here. We stopped at verse 12. Let's read on, beginning with verse 13. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy Lord, the king? For there came one in of the people in to destroy the king, thy Lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? For what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go, serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Now, a few things I want to point out here. 2 weeks ago, when we saw David, he was in the cave, and Saul came into the cave, and he went to sleep. And David's men They saw that as God's providence, bringing David's enemy there into the cave, and they could have easily taken him out of this world. And they encouraged David to do it. They encouraged David to do it, to kill his enemy. Now, if you notice in verse 8, this man Abishai, he knew that David would not kill the king. They've already faced that before in that cave. David wouldn't kill the king. And David said, who can touch the Lord's anointed? No. But you see, this time, this man, knowing that David wouldn't kill him, he asked David, let me do it. Notice that, let me do it. Verse 8, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Again, you see, they believe it's God's providence that Saul was here and would be easily dispatched out of this world. But notice, I pray thee with the spear even to the earth, let me, now therefore let me smite him. He knew David wouldn't do it. He already found that out. David already, we saw this 2 weeks ago. David wouldn't do it, but he would. Let me do it. Let me do it. Both times we see David confess that Saul was God's anointed. He was God's anointed. Notice that in verse 9. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? You can't do that. You can't take this man's life. This man, God anointed him to be the king. He had the anointing all of God poured upon him. He's God's anointed. You can't kill him and prosper. David knew that, and he respected God, and he respected Saul. The second thing I want you to notice in verse 10, David would wait upon the Lord to deal with Saul. Yeah, Saul was his enemy. Yes, they had an opportunity to take care of his enemy. But notice David, his reasoning is, David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his days shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. You see, he's content to wait upon God. God would take care of his enemy. And he knew that. He believed that. He believed God. He'd just wait. A third thing, I noticed that David shames Abner. That's what he does. Abner was the commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel. And he shamed him. You know, I believe this is probably true today, that, and it's always been true. A man goes to sleep on guard duty, that's a capital offense immediately. I believe it's true in our country during the war between the states, the Civil War. There were men who were executed for going to sleep when they should have been guarding on guard duty. They put the whole camp in jeopardy, don't they? One man, if one man's on guard, if he's the only one, he goes to sleep, then you've got all the men in jeopardy there. And that's what David accused Abner of doing. You're a valiant man. You've got the respect. You've got the fame in Israel of being a valiant man, Abner. And he did have that. He wouldn't have been captain if he had not been a mighty man. That's how he got to that position, most likely. You're a valiant man. And look what you've done. He shames him. He really does. He shames him. Well, you've gone to sleep, and your failure, David told him, your failure is worthy of death. Abner, if you get what you deserve for what you've done, you'll be executed. That's all there is to it. You've not You failed to protect your master, the king. You know, a few weeks ago, we saw a man who was one of the Secret Service men in the motorcade of John F. Kennedy when he was killed. He's the man, if you've seen those clips, who climbed on the back of the car. And after all these years, he said he still felt guilt. He did everything he could do. But the president was killed. And he said he had lived with that guilt all these years. Well, that's a serious, serious job to, like Abner had. And he had completely failed. And David told him about it. David let him know. But I want you to notice next, David's plea for peace in verses 18 through 20. He said, "Wherefore doth my Lord..." Well, Saul, I should say this, Saul recognized David's voice, and he addressed him as, "My son, my son." Verse 17, "And Saul knew David's voice and said, 'Is this thy voice, my son, David?'" Remember, David was Saul's son-in-law. But Saul had given David's wife away by this time, given his wife to another man. But he still calls him his son, his son. But David, his plea in verse 18, "Wherefore doth my Lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in mine hand? Now notice this, I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord..." Now, if you're just in what you're doing, if God has led you to seek my life, if I've sinned against you, let him, that is God, accept an offering, a peace offering. Let's make this right, in other words. That's what he said. But, now notice, but if you have been told by other men that I'm seeking to take your kingdom, I'm seeking to take your life, if you've been listening to other men, and most of the commentators seem to think that was Saul's problem. Because remember before, when David could have killed him and didn't in that cave, Saul said, you're right, you know, you're more righteous than I. But here he is again, seeking David's life. And most of the writers believe that he was listening to some of his advisors who were telling him lies about David, what David's intentions were. David said, no. Many believe that this is when David wrote Psalm 7. Let's turn over there real quickly, and I won't take much more time. But in Psalm 7, there's a man named by the name of Cush in the title of this psalm. It says, "David was saying unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite." And the writers seem to think that Cush was the one who was telling Saul these lies about David, what David was trying to do to kill him and take and become king. And if you notice in verse 3 there in that psalm, "O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust." If I'm guilty of trying to bring about Saul's death, David said, let me lie in the dust. Back to the text. David told Saul, what's happening here? You're going to cause me to have to leave the country. Notice that. I've got to leave the land of Israel. And where am I going to go? I'm going to go among idolaters. That's all there were besides the nation of Israel. Now, therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea. He tells the king, it's beneath you. It's beneath you to even seek my life. And me, and in comparison to you, I'm just like a flea. It's beneath you, Saul, to be doing this. You can see David's love for Saul, and this is the last time they will ever see each other, as far as we know. But David continued to respect and love Saul as his king. Well, once again, Saul acknowledged his fault. He said, I've sinned. And David restored his spear to him and the cruse of water. And David did ask him this. He said, as thy life was valuable in my eyes, I wouldn't kill you, Saul. Your life was valuable in my eyes. Let my life be valuable in your eyes. And they parted, each going his own way. And as I said, as far as we know, as far as the scripture is concerned, they never saw each other again in this life. And Saul would die in battle shortly after this. I trust the Lord would bless his word to us here this evening. And there's just some practical things that we see as we go through 1 Samuel.